right. But just looking at the US first, and of course the focus in markets is still towards a potential pivot by the Federal Reserve. And when I say pivot, you know, basically when you listen to all the various Fed governors in, and what they've been saying over the course of this past week, it's a possibility that they may not be tightening by 75 basis points in December. You know, they may come back to 50, and still they've got some work to do beyond that. So it's interesting that the market is getting pretty excited about a pivot, but it's still some way off before you get to any sort of peak in the Fed funds rate. And I suppose what helped the process over this last week, the week before we saw the CPI, which came in a bit below market expectations, we had producer prices in the United States came out last week. And for October, they came in a little bit below market expectations as well. So the headline producer price index came in at 0.2% month on month. That reduced the annual rate of change in producer prices to 8% year on year from 8.4%. And the core was actually flat for the month. And so that brought the annual change back to 6.7% from 7.1%. Yeah, these are definitely coming back, but it's going to take a long time to get them down into the twos, for example, where the Fed needs these numbers to be to be confident that it have inflation under control. And that's not even remotely possible, really, over the course of the next year to 18 months. So we've probably still got some ebbs and flows to go in terms of market sentiment as we get some of the numbers coming through. And one of the other factors in the US is that you need demand to come back. And demand is still running pretty strongly there. We had retail sales numbers came out last week, and they're actually stronger than expectations. In fact, they're extraordinarily strong, up 1.3% month on month. Market was looking for 0.9, and core retail sales are up by 1.3%. The market was looking for only 0.5% increase. So yeah, there's quite a deal of second wind there in terms of spending power, which we're seeing in many other economies too, which suggests that demand needs to come back away further. It's a tale of two economies in both the US and just about everywhere else when you look at the less interest rate sensitive parts of the economy, and in that I put retail spending, particularly spending on services, where it's still catch up and people are still fairly euphoric, and the interest rate sensitive parts of the economy. The interest rate sensitive parts certainly are showing some weakness, and everywhere that's housing. So in the case of the United States, we had several housing indicators came out last week. We had the National Association of Home Builders Index for the month of November. It's come down to a very, very weak level by the standards of that survey. It fell from 38 down to 33. At the beginning of this year, beginning of 2022, that was standing at 70. So that's come back a very, very long way over the course of this year. We also had existing home sales. They were down 5.9% month on month. They've been falling the last few months. And also housing starts and home building permits, both down. Building permits down 2.4% month on month, and housing starts down 4.2% month on month. So those areas are certainly showing some signs of weakness. In terms of some of the leading indicators, we also got the first readings, November readings of the Empire State Survey for New York State and the Philadelphia Fed Survey for further down the coast. The Empire State Survey, a real puzzle, this one. The goods sector, if anything, should be feeling the brunt of higher interest rates, because what we've got is not just a pivot in people thinking about interest rates, it's a pivot in what consumers are doing. They're going very much into buying services now rather than so much goods. So you'd expect something like the Empire State Survey to really be starting to show some weakness, and that's what the market expected. They thought that the reading, after being minus 9.1 going back to October, would still have a minus sign on the front of it in November. It bounced and went to plus 4.5. So rather quirky, that one. The Philadelphia Fed survey was more what you'd expect. And down there, it was at minus 8.7 going back the month before, and that extended to minus 19.4. So you've still got this real mixed bag, the Fed needs some weakness through this, and because it needs consistent weakness to lift the unemployment rate a little bit in order to be confident that the inflation rate in the United States can come down. The latest initial jobless claims out of the US still very, very low and still consistent with a lot of strength running through the labor market there. This week is a shortened week in the US. Yeah, they've got Thanksgiving Day coming up at the end of the week. And so a lot of data bunched into Wednesday this week, but none of it, I don't think, is going to be market moving. So we get things like October durable goods orders. They've been running still pretty well. They're up 0.4% going back to September. They're expected to be up another 0.4% for the month of October. We get the final reading of Michigan consumer sentiment for the month of November. The preliminary reading fell quite sharply to 54.7. And so we get the extra third of respondents who come in on the final survey. They're expecting it to be stable at 54.7. If it's higher than that, it suggests that people are a little bit more optimistic in the later responses. If it's lower than that, then things are deteriorating. So wait and see where that one comes in. We've got October new home sales coming out. They were very weak going back to September, down by 10.9%. They're expected to fall another 3.8%. Moving then to China, and in the case of China, you've still got these signs that they may be just thinking slightly differently about the way in which they deal with these COVID outbreaks. They're still running to lockdowns in many places, but they're allowing sort of less quarantining for people visiting China. So there's still those hints that there may be some positive change there. Another positive change came from the willingness of President Xi to talk with people, not giving any concessions. And that included his discussions at the various international summit meetings held in Southeast Asia, with talks with the US. There were talks with our Prime Minister as well. So yes, some thawing in relations there. But the economic data, and you can see why he doesn't want to become a pariah like Russia is at the moment, because the economic data we had through the course of last week all came in on the weak side of expectations, and the expectations were pretty weak. So we had October fixed asset investment out of China. That's rather than being stable at 5.9% year on year, deteriorated a little to 5.8%. Industrial production came down more than or moderated more than expected to 5% year on year from 6.3% going back the month before. And the key one, at some point, it's got to be its own domestic demand which runs that economy. And retail sales are not playing ball. Retail sales are very weak in China now. In October, they were down 0.5% year on year. That was after being up 2.5% year on year, which is still a very soft reading for the month of September. So, as you'd expect when you're going from periodic lockdowns in various places, the opportunities to spend are pretty limited. And that's just still very, very soft indeed. Also, house prices continue to tumble. They had the October reading of that, and they were down 1.6% year on year. There's little of note this week. You have got the People's Bank of China meeting. They may or may not touch their interest rates, and if they do, it'll be a very, very small easing that runs through there in China. So fairly quiet there. As far as Australia was concerned last week, it was all to do with the labour market. So we had the third quarter wage price index came out. It was slightly above expectations. So even back in Q3, there's some signs that wages are starting to lift at a rather faster pace. The market expected a rise of 0.9% quarter on quarter. We got a rise of 1%. As a result of that, the annual change has lifted to 3.1% year on year from 2.6. Now, the way to look at this is that the RBA said, look, we can tolerate a certain amount of lift in wages, and if anything, that's desirable, same sort of thing that the government's saying at the moment. We can go up to 3.5%, but much above 3.5% becomes a problem getting our inflation rate back to 2 to 3% range over time. Well, we've accelerated pretty rapidly to 3.1% in Q3. and the pressure points are still there over the next few quarters, and you'd think that we're going to go through 3.5% pretty quickly over the next couple of quarterly readings, and that's going to be worrying the Reserve Bank a little bit, particularly in an environment where, you know, the government's saying everything's off. You know, all we want to do is get wages up. Well, it's a case of be careful what you wish for. If you do get wages to rise as fast as they expect, and in the current form of the Industrial Relations Bill, which is being rammed through Parliament at the moment, there's a lot of change in that that needs to occur to make sure that it doesn't become something which just gives unrequited wage rises to the most powerful union groups. Because if that's what occurs, then the Reserve Bank's got a fair bit more work ahead of it in terms of raising interest rates. And the other part, which was, it's good news, but it's not comforting news for the Reserve Bank, is that, yeah, the labour market is still drum tight. We had the labour force reading for the month of October, and we had a lift in employment, which was double expectations. It was up 32,200, market was looking for 15,000. Participation rate, as expected, was unchanged because we can't eke many more people into the labour market. And as a result of that, the unemployment rate actually fell to 3.4% from 3.5. 3.4 is the lowest reading for the unemployment rate since 1974. So, you know, we've got this extraordinarily tight labour market and pressure for wages to rise, not moderately, but much faster. And so, you know, those numbers alone mean that the RBA has no option but to hike rates again at its December meeting. I don't think there was ever any doubt anyway. They can probably still get away with 25 basis points. But you know, depending on how the labour force readings run over the next month or two, and it still looks as if they're going to be pretty strong, they're going to have to start 2023 in February with another hike as well. So it's just putting that pressure in there at the moment with these sorts of numbers. We'll hear more about that from the RBA governor. He speaks on Tuesday night this week, and he's talking about issues such as price stability and the importance of it. So there'll be a little bit in that speech. There's nothing in the way of economic numbers coming out here in Australia this week, but another central bank which is probably worth watching is on Wednesday morning, the RBNZ, just across the ditch. They will have their meeting, and that already at 3.5% cash rate, and the expectation is they're going to lift another 75 basis points to 4.25. So it's just some of these indications that there's still some pressure there as far as interest rates are concerned, which have come out of the market a bit over this last month or two, but are going to bear watching with some of these numbers which are coming through. As far as Europe is concerned, we had industrial production came out last week. That's still running pretty well. Month of September, so it's pretty old, but it was about three times market expectations. It was up 0.9%. Market was looking for 0.3, and it came after a hefty 2% increase the month before. So it's still running reasonably well. We had a revision to their Q3 GDP. There was no real revision. So Q3 GDP in Europe was up 0.2% quarter on quarter, 2.1% year on year. So they're not quite in recession yet, but expected to get there. Just some of the factors which are shifting a bit in Europe. As far as Western Europe's concerned, they've had a much milder than expected autumn. So that's just taking a little bit of the pressure out of the energy price fears that are running through some of those markets. We'll wait and see where that continues. We also had the September trade balance came out from Europe. It was a much smaller deficit than expected. So trade's doing not too badly. So, you know, for the time being, we've got the economic numbers which are still running a little bit stronger than expected running through Europe. Whilst they face imminent recession, their inflation rate's way too high. It's above 10%, 10.6% on revision for the most recent month. So there's still a fair bit of interest rate work to be done there as far as Europe's concerned. So over the course of this week, So it's going to be pretty quiet because, you know, you run into the Thanksgiving celebrations in the US. Momentum is still towards, you know, people getting excited about central bank pivots. But the numbers which are coming through suggest that central banks still have quite a deal of work to do. And so, you know, reality has to hit at some point again. And so just waiting to see what happens, but not denying that for the time being, the momentum is still towards rallies rather than setbacks. And so just watching how that pans out.